Hey everyone, Rob B here with Rob D, and you are listening to the Property Podcast. It's market update time. Let's get to the scary headline. Property prices are falling. Let's hear more about that.
Yes, welcome to the Property Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is our favourite part of the week. It's where we take some time out from what we're supposed to be doing, which is arranging a whole load of property transactions for our clients at Property Hub Invest and for our fund at portfolio.co.uk. And we share some of what we've learned and some of what we're seeing in the markets. In this month's market update, so much happening that you really should know about if you're in any form active in the property market. So stick around because we're getting into that any second now.
Just a quick heads up before we get into it. The Property Hub magazine is landing on doorsteps as we speak. Hurrah! And that is awesome. It's always great when we get a new issue out. And for everyone who's subscribed, you'll be able to access online our amazing location guide. I can say it's amazing because I've not done any of it. The team have put it together and it's a work of art. It looks gorgeous, but the information is brilliant as well. Please do check that out. And if you're not a subscriber yet, come on, what are you doing? It's only a fiver an issue, and that includes delivery, and you can get access to a digital version of all the back copies, and there's loads now, so the value just keeps stacking up, and you also will be able to access that location guide. So if you'd like to subscribe and put your wrong right, then go to propertyhub.net/magazine.
All right, time for our market update, recovering what happened in the month of August. August, not typically the busiest month in property. In fact, it's normally the month where the market goes into a bit of a hibernation. It's a nightmare to get anything done because all solicitors are on holiday. But this month, a fair bit going on, including, Rob, if you listen to the media, an all-out property collapse.
Yeah, the media. Let's just start with the media in general. When the media is the loudest, for me, that's when you need to be the wariest. The media at the moment is in full-on fear mode. They've got past COVID now, so they need something else for us to all crap ourselves over. And now it's all interest rates, inflation, recession, market collapses. That's all they're talking about. Now, I'm not belittling the situation. There are people struggling and inflation is rising. But the media will have you believe that everything is awful and it's going to get worse. And we believe that there are different ways you can look at this and approach this and also assess this. So that's why these market updates are so important for me, Rob, because you can get beneath the headlines. For example, at the top of the show, I'd said property prices are falling. Bit of a shocker that, and the media have jumped all over it. You know, property prices are falling. And you know what, Rob? The media's right. Sort of.
Yeah, very much sort of. So the headline that you'll have seen is that property prices fell by 1.3% in August, the first time they've fallen since blah, blah, whenever it was. But actually, this is completely misreported because this comes from Rightmove data, which is talking about asking prices. And when you hear house prices, you probably think, well, okay, that's the price that houses sold for. But this is completely different. It's asking prices. Asking prices fell by 1.3% in August. All right, well, maybe that's quite significant in itself. It would be if the average price drop for asking prices in August over the last 10 years was 1.3%. Exactly the same. So the actual headline is the housing market is doing exactly what it always does. But that's not a very good headline, is it?
No, that's not scary. That's not going to get people, you know, terrified and sitting on the fence or selling their properties. You know, that's not enough fear. You know, you need to ramp up the fear. So let's twist it. God, it's not like the media to do things like that, is it? It really annoys me. And how many times over the years of this pod have we dug beneath a headline and gone, so basically the headline is hogwash. It's a load of rubbish. And this is another rubbish headline that's got traction, that's made people feel scared, that really is nonsense.
There's actually something interesting in this same story, though, which to me is far more relevant than the headline. The headline about the 1.3, as we've just said, total nonsense. It's a non-story. But in the same piece of research, it talks about supply and demand relative to 2019. 2019 might sound like a few years ago, because it is, but it's more relevant because this is pre-pandemic. And so, okay, let's say we're out the other side now, and let's compare the market now to where it was before we had a couple of weird years where you can't really read much into the stats. So if you compare the amount of available stock to the amount that was available in 2019, it's down 39%. which is a big fall. And on the demand side, buyer inquiries are 20% higher than they were in 2019. So that, Rob, for me, is the interesting bit, because that shows what the market dynamics really are. And these are changing from even more extreme levels. The market is cooling down. We're not denying that the market is cooling down. We're not trying to talk it up because we're the property podcast. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But the point is, if you actually look at the fundamentals that underlie the market, there are various factors that would lead you to think that this so-called property crash that the media is saying is going to happen is just not going to happen. And that is one of them. There is still, despite everything that's going on, despite the cost of living crisis and energy prices and everything else that people like to list off, buyer inquiries are still 20% higher than they were before the pandemic.
You're right, Rob. The market is slowing down, but it's still strong in many respects. The beginning of this year, the first half of this year, the market was bonkers. It was full on craze mode. We went to 10% plus in property price growth this year, just in the first 6 months alone. So even if it doesn't grow any more this year, it's still been a very strong year for property price growth. And if it drops a tiny bit, well, then I'm actually going to be happy, because I think I said the market would grow 8% this year. And proving myself right comes above all else for our predictions episodes, Rob. So, you know, if we end up around 8% for the year, then we'll be happy because we're 8% up, and obviously my predictions will be right. So we win. Yay. We will see where we end up. We're not that far away from the end of the year now, which is scary to say, but it's true. So it's not a long way to go before we can actually get those results.
Yeah, we gave our predictions at the start of the year. We'll see how we did. But in last week's newsletter, we actually put a bit of a poll and we asked the Property Hub community, do you think prices will end this year higher or lower than they are now, or about the same? So we're actually going to publish the result of that in tomorrow's newsletter. So if you are not subscribed to that already, go to propertyhub.net/news. Because then you'll get tomorrow's newsletter, which will have the results of that poll in there. And that'll be really interesting, because hundreds or thousands of people will have voted in that. So we'll see what sentiment is like among investors at large.
Indeed, you do not want to miss Mr. D's brand new newsletter. For the first time, he is writing for Property Hub in the newsletter every single week. Not as a one-off, every week. So check out propertyhub.net/news to get signed up. And it's free. Come on, it's a no-brainer. Not quite a no-brainer, Rob, but to be expected in this market is in our rental news now, which agents say, or at least 73% of agents say, that they've seen an increase in the number of tenancies renewing their tenancies over the last 12 months. And the suggestion is that tenants are preferring to stay put than move. And that's probably because moving now, there's a fair chance they'll end up paying more than they are currently, because rents have been on the rise. And sometimes landlords take a view that rather maxing out at the top rent, they may increase it a little, but not the full way, to keep their tenants in, because people don't want voids. So these stats, Rob, don't really come much of a surprise, but it's nice for landlords to see their tenants are, on the whole, staying put.
Yeah, it's a really nice side effect of rent rises, because rent rises are nice for obvious reasons, but in a way, what's even better is having tenants that stay longer, because void periods always cost some amount of money. It could be a lot, it could be a little, but it's always something, and it's a whole load of hassle as well. Maybe missing out on rent, maybe having to do repairs, maybe having to pay your letting agent another tenant fine fee. If tenants are staying longer, you don't have to do any of that. And rent rises are one reason for them staying, but another is just that there is not much stock to move into. Properties are moving so fast. I'm seeing that in the markets that I keep an eye on in London. I was talking to a letting agent who operates in Nottingham City Centre last week, who said that properties weren't staying on the market for more than a day. They were just absolutely flying off. So definitely good news. And another similar story that ties into that is that voids have hit historic lows. So the average void period in England as a whole has fallen from 17 days to 10 days. And that's the shortest since they started collecting data. So the sales market may be cooling down, but the rental market is still red hot.
It is. Although rents are rising, but they're not keeping pace with inflation, according to an article in Letting Agent Today, which, according to the Office for National Statistics, has said that rents have gone up 3.2% in the last 12 months up until July, which is an increase, but way below inflation. And we know, Rob, historically, that rents tend to follow inflation, but the fact that they're behind now doesn't surprise me that much, Rob, because I would expect a lag, just like there's a lag with wage inflation as well. You'd expect to see a lag with rental inflation, which means that if true, there's the potential for rents to continue increasing in the near future.
Yeah, I think there certainly is a potential for them to do so. But the usual suspects are not letting the facts get in the way of them complaining about greedy landlords. The BBC reported the other week on a brewing cost of living crisis triggered by high rents. Question that. I don't think you could say it's the high rents that are making everything else unaffordable. That's just weird and also not true, because we've just seen that rents are actually lagging the general rate of inflation. And Generation Rent, which is a pressure group, are now calling for a rent freeze. And they're saying, well, everything's getting more expensive. That means it's going to be hard for people. Therefore, landlords shouldn't be allowed to increase their rents because that'll just make things even harder. Yeah, but why landlords? Why are you singling out this one category? Why aren't you saying that supermarkets should freeze their prices? Why should anyone freeze their prices? It's the dynamics of the market. I don't get it, but I don't think it's meant to make sense. I think it's just meant to kind of get everyone riled up, and I suppose it's working because I'm talking about it.
So that's rents. Another big part of any property investor's world is mortgages, or it is for most of us anyway, and rates, Rob, are on the up.
They are. It's happening every week at the moment. We're seeing mortgage products stay on the market for less time than ever before. They're constantly getting pulled and repriced as lenders adapt to what's going on. But so for several weeks in a row now, we've seen the price of 2-year fixes and 5-year fixes increasing. Not by a lot. So a 5-year fix went up the other week by 5 basis points, which is 0.05%. So it's not a great deal, but they are creeping upwards. The interesting thing is that 10-year fixes are not increasing. Well, they increased by 1 basis point. So that's 0.01%. But the previous couple of weeks, they didn't increase at all. And we talked about this on the show the other week because we showed that where lenders get their funding from, 10-year rates are also not increasing, which seems to suggest that the markets believe rates won't go up too much further and indeed will come down slightly over the longer term. But Rob, we did a webinar last week, which was really, really good fun. And we'd always do a Q&A, and lots of the questions were around mortgages and what should people do? If people are on variable rates, should they fix? If they are fixing, should they fix for 2 years or 5 years? And maybe we should take it more broadly than just mortgages and talk about what investors should be doing in general. But how would you navigate this at the moment? Because mortgages have been so low for so long, it's just being like, great, let's get the longest fix I can. This is awesome. But now it's not that straightforward at all.
No, it's not. So what should investors do in general, I think, is the easy one, which is take advantage of the situation. And the situation being is that the first half of this year was bonkers, absolutely bonkers. And it's great if you owned property in that bonkers market, but trying to buy it, nah, no good. And in the first half of this year, it was just too much. The way the market was acting, I just took a pause. I'm now looking again. I'm really actively looking again because it's going quiet and I feel like I can get myself a decent deal. So going against the trend, not unusual for us on the Property Podcast, but that's how I would be acting right now. I would take advantage of the fact that the market has softened and calmed down and you have the chance now to do a deal. And we talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago, the fact that a lot of developers that we're speaking to at Property Hub Invest are now calling us and they want to do deals. We're always picky, but it's at a point now where we're turning down deals that are still good because we just got one that's a bit better. So it's an interesting time in the market to do deals and take advantage of that. Mortgages is, for me, a lot trickier because it's easy to decide whether to be active or not active in the property market. But a lot of investors will have to be renewing their products. I know for myself, it always seems like there's a remortgage being worked on. And also, if you're buying a property, you need to decide what type of mortgage to go for. Now, it's hard to say everyone should do this because everyone's circumstances are different and we all have different goals. So all I can tell you is what I'm looking at doing, and you can decide whether you take a bit of that as a guide or at least understand my thinking to then put your own framework together and make your own decisions. And for me, looking at the market right now, the margins in the mortgage products are really high. So what I mean by that is the rate that they borrow at themselves, the rate they get money versus the rate they're selling to us, the consumers at, is wider than it has been for a long, long time. The trend up until a few months ago was that the margins were coming down. The trend was downwards. They were getting tighter and tighter and tighter as competition increased. They've, at the moment, probably for two reasons, taken a much bigger margin. One, uncertainty. And two, they can get away with it because of that uncertainty. So they can make more money on the products they offer right now. So because of that, rather than take a 5-year product, I would be looking at 2-year products because I feel in the next 2 years, everything will sort itself out. The markets will calm and margins will start to decrease again. So I think I won't be any worse off in 2 years and I might be able to get a better product then. That said, that's my approach And if you follow it and it doesn't work out, you can't blame me. But the good news is if it does work out, I'm not going to come and ask you for a share of your profits.
Well, just to make life really difficult for everyone, I would fix for 5 years just because I'm so lazy and I hate dealing with mortgages. Just so the thought of having to do it again in 2 years, I'd just fix even if it makes me a bit worse off. But that is definitely not sensible investment advice.
You know, like we said, one man's lazy is another man's efficient, Rob. So we talked about that earlier this morning before we jumped on the pod. So, you know, maybe just being efficient. I get it. It is a lot of pain. But financially, I think I'd go with my route. But yeah, for stress, maybe your route is better.
Well, you've got to value your time, Rob. You know what my day rate is. Right, let's move on from the general market and talk about holiday lets. Because I think something's really interesting is going on with holiday lets. Because holiday lets have become so much more popular over the last couple of years. And indeed, the story that we're talking about says that the number of active holiday lets has increased by as much as 33% in some of the UK's most popular destinations. So that 33% figure is from the Lake District just over the last year. That's crazy.
It's bonkers, isn't it? That is a crazy number.
I don't know if I can quite be right, but it's a big number. But it's not just the Lake District. The Peak District, 25%. Cotswolds, 25%. Cornwall, 24%. Liverpool, 10.8%. Weird. But the point is that they're becoming way, way more popular, and there are very good reasons for that. But this means that politicians are starting to get excited about this, because we've talked about this on the show before. There are very real negative effects of holiday lets. It can be a great investment. It can be great if you're going on holiday. But for local communities, it can be a good thing. But if the numbers are increasing that much that fast, it does have negative impacts as well. So we've already seen legislation against holiday lets in Scotland. It's recently been announced in Wales. There's a story in The Guardian about a private members bill to try and do the same thing in England. I'll be doing a YouTube video about this probably next week with a lot more detail, because my bet is that this is going to get talked about a lot over the rest of this year and into next year, because the negative effects are going to get a lot of media attention and politicians are going to feel like they should be doing something. So it's a subject we don't talk about that much on the podcast, but I think we're going to end up talking about it more.
I completely agree, Rob. This is not a story that's going to go away quietly. And because of the amount of people who are operating in this market now, more regulation for me is, it's a case of when, not if. It's going to happen at some point, because it probably is needed, because the normal buy-to-let market has been operating for so long and it's so mature now. Lots of regulations, not that we always welcome them, have been introduced over time. The world of holiday lets has been kind of a niche, small market for a long time until, obviously, recently when things have changed. So it's getting attention now. And normally when a market has attention, regulation tends to follow not soon after. We will see. And it's really interesting, actually, Rob, because there's a building society that stopped offering mortgages on second homes. So if you have a place somewhere else in the country, you can no longer get a mortgage from the Leeds Building Society unless you make it available to let as a holiday homes for over 24 weeks a year. But if it's under that, if you only let out a few weeks a year or not at all, with immediate effect, Leeds Building Society will not lend to you. And I wonder if they'll take it a step further in future and do that with all holiday homes. So like we said, this is a market to watch, and you make sure you watch Rob's video on YouTube coming up soon. If you've not already subscribed, make sure you are. And don't miss out, because just because you're subscribed, you might not still see it in your feed. So hit the notification bell as well, and you'll get videos like that. But we're really ramping up on YouTube at the moment, and we're putting out a lot of content. So make sure you take advantage of that as well.
Okay. And finally, Rob, maybe you're a bit disillusioned with the existing political parties. Maybe thinking, they're all okay. They seem like really nice, well-meaning people, but they're just a bit too soft on landlords. I wish there was a party that just ramps up the anti-landlord rhetoric a little bit. Well, good news. There is one. There's a new political party called Breakthrough who have really got it in for landlords. So if you look at their policies around housing, they include rent controls. All right, we've seen that from other parties. Higher taxation on property income. We've seen that as well. But also the scrapping of buy-to-let mortgages. No more buy-to-let mortgages at all. Higher taxes on second homes and holiday homes and a whole lot more. So yeah, have they got your vote?
Well, they do have a 10-point plan on housing. I love how all political parties have a X point plan. They don't have a plan. They have a number point plan. They all do the same crap, don't they? And they all go, let me be clear before they talk. Sorry, Rob, I'm fed up with them all, but I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that way as well. And you know what? This one probably wouldn't be any worse than the others because, I mean, what party does seems like the private rental sector at the moment? People used to vote Conservatives because they felt it would support them, but yet everything they do seems to go against landlords. Labour don't seem too keen on them. And now you've got a new one that wants to out-trump them. We will see. I can't see them getting much traction because we seem to have a fixed political system of three parties and no one else can get a look in edgeways. But maybe they will break in. But based on what they want to do, maybe it's good that they don't.
Well, that is the market update for this month. I feel like we got a bit heated there. If you've got riled up about anything in this episode, or you've got an alternative viewpoint, or you just want to let us know what you think, a great place to do that is in the comments section on YouTube, because we are putting together a YouTube version of this market update, covering the same stories in a slightly different way. By the time you're listening to this, unless you're super early, that'll probably already be out. So go find us on YouTube at Property Hub UK, find that video, leave us a comment, and I'm going to personally reply to as many as I can.
Ooh, a bit of Rob D interaction. Who doesn't like that? Well, I certainly do. That's why I turn up every week. But before you head off on your merry way, let us give you a hub extra because we've got a cracker. A TV recommendation, actually. We do these every now and again. But I've been really enjoying the start to a new series called This Is Wrexham. And no, it's not a TOWIE spin-off about Wrexham, although that probably would be interesting. It's actually about the purchase of Wrexham Football Club, which, if you are not aware, was purchased by Ryan Reynolds and a guy slightly less famous, Rob McElhenney, something like that. Anyway, he and his business partner have purchased Wrexham. And it's quite random. Why have people from Hollywood gone and purchased a club in North Wales that for many years has been struggling? Well, I don't know either, but following their story is really entertaining. It's on Disney Plus, so check it out. Really love Disney Plus. That's a recommendation as well. And they're putting out an episode every single week, so go and check that one out. It's really entertaining. It's lighthearted and it's interesting as well. So that is This Is Wrexham. And even if you don't like football, I think you'd find it interesting.
That sounds really good. I'll definitely be seeing if I can fit that into my rotation in among all the Below Deck. I'm sure I'll find a space for it somewhere. But that is us done for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Do make sure, if you're not already, that you're following the show on iTunes or Spotify. Really easy to do, and it means you get every episode automatically downloaded to your phone. And back at the start, I mentioned briefly our fund, Portfolio. You can find out more about that at portfolio.co.uk. We're going to be back to do it all again next Thursday, so we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.